Welcome to the Eagles Live Podcast, episode 21. And as the Eagles stretch, exhale, and enjoy the offseason, they also take care of a huge piece of business, signing defensive tackle Fletcher Cox to a six-year contract extension through the 2022 season. So the theme of this Eagles Live Podcast is the defensive line and, of course, Fletcher Cox. I'm Eagles insider Dave Spadaro, hoping you are having a great Eagles day. A lot of things have happened in this offseason, and a lot of time waiting for a big deal to get done, one that the Eagles and Cox do on this very busy week for the Philadelphia Eagles. Cox was a first-round draft pick in 2012. He's been a dominating player with the Eagles despite changing head coaches and changing schemes. He was named a second-team All-Pro, and he played in his first Pro Bowl after a tremendous 2015 campaign. And now he looks for even more under new coordinator Jim Schwartz in 2016. We go one-on-one with the most recent Eagle with a long-term contract, defensive tackle Fletcher Cox. So Fletcher, you've got the deal done. How does it feel?
I mean, it's feel great. Just I'm relief off my shoulders and, man, just ready to roll for training camp.
What was it like for you during the time you were away from the team and the negotiations were going on? There were voluntary workouts, but were you having an itch to come back here and get on the field?
Well, I mean, it's just part of it, you know, just part of it, the negotiation process. And I was back home working out, staying in shape and keeping in touch with a few teammates and what was going on around here.
Is it a humbling experience to have this kind of deal to, look, I mean, let's be honest, to make this kind of money?
I mean, you have to be humble about it because the moment you're not humble about it, that's the moment when I think something bad happens. I just continue to be the humble person that I am.
Now let's talk about the defense and how Fletcher Cox fits into this defense. Jim Schwartz wants you to go up the field and to attack and to be aggressive. I'm sure that's going to make you smile.
Honestly, I can play any defense that they put me in. When I got drafted in 2012, you know, I was a 4-3, then it changed for the next year, and I just had to adapt to it. So now, you know, I get to reach back in my back pocket and go back to running off the football and getting after the quarterback every play.
So you don't think it's going to be a big adjustment for you?
No, it shouldn't be. Get out there and knock the rust off some team reps, and I'll be ready to go.
How do you feel about the group up front? Vinny's got his deal, and Brandon's here, and Connor comes in, and Benny's right next to you. A lot of familiarity there.
A room of great guys. Everybody's been here with each other, and we know what to expect from each other, so I think that's the main thing about it.
So how does Fletcher Cox celebrate after signing a contract extension?
I celebrate it. We got the news on Monday. Actually, I was at the shop. Me and one of my crew guys, Chase Driscoll, we were loading the car up, and we were headed out to the racetrack to go test one of my cars.
Well, congratulations on that, and congratulations on the deal, and have a good time between now and training camp.
I will. Thank you.
Thank you, Fletcher.
Yep.
Howie Roseman has orchestrated the offseason moves and all of the signings, and he talks here about getting the Cox deal done and what might be ahead with more moves for the Eagles and this ever-changing roster. Howie, what do you think you accomplished here with Fletcher, and just how important was it to get a deal done with somebody who's so young and coming off such a great run of success here?
Well, you're able to have a 25-year-old, in our opinion, star player in this scheme, star person under contract for the next 7 years. That's really important as we build this going forward, and to have that guy that we can build around and feel great in terms of leadership and playing ability.
Was it one of the more challenging deals that you've ever done?
Well, it's always hard to pull the trigger when you're talking about the amount of money we're talking about, but we kind of looked at where the game was going and where contracts have been and how we can build, and it was hard to envision a scenario where he wasn't here. So the longer we waited, the more we felt like, because of his production, because as he got closer to free agency, the more would cost, and that was really kind of our perspective as we went throughout the offseason.
How good is he, Howie?
Well, his ceiling has not been reached. When you look at the traits and tools that you're looking for from that position, the explosiveness, the length, the athletic ability, the motor, the power, the strength, and still 25 years old. And when you go back and study guys hitting their peak, when the physical and mental ability comes together, that's usually 27, 28. So I don't think that anyone has seen the best yet from Fletcher Cox.
And in this scheme with what Jim wants from his front, I mean, wow, you really kind of lick your chops and wait for the season to start.
Yeah, Jim would constantly remind us about the ability that he has in this scheme, the amount of production he potentially could have in this scheme, because he's been around some great defensive linemen, you know, whether it was Haynesworth or Sue or Darius. He's been around some great defensive linemen in this scheme and the production they put up. And then you add to it again just the character and the leadership and what kind of person he is, and it's the perfect fit for us and for our organization.
What have you been able to accomplish with the salary cap? How, you know, just going back to the the trades of DeMarco and Byron Maxwell, I mean, you really kind of reorganized this salary cap. I mean, is that how you would kind of describe it?
Yeah, I think that's an accurate description of it. When you talk about our cap situation, it's going to be different than it's been in the last few years. We knew that to be a good team, we have to keep our own players, our good young players, at the same time add to the mix. So hopefully by doing some of these deals early, we get the opportunity to keep more players here because we do them a little early. But it is going to be challenging here, certainly for the next 12 to 18 months.
But you feel great about what you've accomplished?
I feel like we got the right players here to keep long term. And there's still a couple more that we'd like to invest in long term. But it's the building blocks of what we're trying to accomplish long term, at the same time looking at this year, but understanding that there's a long term perspective.
When you talk about a couple of other players, are you talking about something that potentially could happen now, between now and September, or do you look into the season for that?
Yeah, nothing's cooking right now, but we'll constantly evaluate our roster and look for guys that potentially we can keep. Again, it's going to be more challenging going forward, but we can't let good players and good people walk out of the building.
The rookie class, Howie, just what you saw in the spring, and how do you feel about that group as they learn to become Philadelphia Eagles?
Take everything with a grain of salt because we're not in pads yet, but the energy, their ability to learn quickly and then put it into the field. Although we didn't get as many picks as we would have liked to because of the trades we made, there's a lot of promising traits to take from this rookie class.
Howie, thank you.
Thanks, Dave.
I'm wide receiver Jordan Matthews.
Touchdown, Jordan Matthews! The Eagles win!
You're listening to the Eagles Live Podcast with Dave Spadaro.
How about the state of the defensive line? For the defense to dominate, the Eagles have to win at the line of scrimmage with an attack and react defensive line led by Cox and Brandon Graham and Connor Barwin and Benny Logan. New line coach Chris Wilson, who coached Cox for two seasons at Mississippi State, had the entire spring to get to know his players, and he loves what he has seen. Chris, what's the message that you've given to the players from day one all the way through this last minicamp?
Well, the number one thing is that playing great defense starts up front, and that's been the key to this entire deal. As we go up front, we go defensively. And when you play well up front, it makes everybody in the building better.
Jim has talked about keeping it simple for the pass rush, keeping it simple for the guys on the edge. What exactly does that mean? How does that translate for fans who are kind of wondering, what does keeping it simple mean?
Well, the one thing that I've learned being with Jim this 6 months is he understands the why. What that means to me is every guy understands the why and the purpose of what we're doing up front. It's kind of like driving a Porsche. What I mean by that is, you know, we're going to play fast. You know, you're going to be up tempo. You got to be under a lot of control because of the speed you're going to be playing with. So we're looking for guys out there who can play fast, who can play physical, and who can play smart. And by Jim means simple in that regards, he's very complimentary. We don't do a lot, but we are highly complimentary. There are a lot of same as in the things that we do.
When I talk to the players up front about the scheme and they talk about being so aggressive and playing downhill, they seem genuinely excited about it and the idea of getting after the quarterback and playing the ball on the way to the quarterback. Do you feel like that is the mood when you're in the meeting rooms and on the practice field with your group?
I've kind of taken this motto, and I've been in a system like this for a while. We always talk about we'd rather say woe than sick. We want to be warned every game, hey, you guys are really close up front of challenging the ball, jumping the ball. We want to push the tempo. We don't want to be counterpunchers. That's permeating across the board from not only our front guys but our backers as well as our guys in the secondary.
You've had him on the field since April. Give me a little feel for what you've seen.
First off, I really enjoy the room from a football IQ standpoint. These guys are smart. They can carry it from the meeting room to the field, which is really important. They make adjustments. So again, to me, football IQ was really important. Two is guys who really are all in kind of guys. These guys are all in, and you can tell that the room enjoys each other. That was the biggest thing. And then the third thing I would tell you is just the attention to detail these guys come out every day with. So if we have to correct things, we can correct them without a bunch of shenanigans.
Jim's success in his career has really been predicated upon dominant performances up front. Is that a bit of pressure on you, something that you embrace, something that you and the players look forward to meeting those expectations?
Absolutely. I don't think you come to the National Football League if you don't like pressure. And I think all of us like this platform and being on this stage. And so I don't look at it like that. I look at it more as an opportunity. And you look at the teams that have been in this scheme, there are a lot of opportunities for guys across the board. And you got to be able to be at least two deep which I feel like we are. And there's going to be a lot of opportunities for guys out there to play well.
If I could ask you about some of the players, I know there's no pads on, there's been no tackling, but let's talk about the defensive end group first. You've got Vinny, you've got Brandon, you've got Connor, and then you've got some younger players with Marcus, with Alex. Go through that group and tell me what you've seen.
Well, starting with a guy like Brandon Graham. You know, Brandon is a guy who you like not only in the run game, but you like him in the pass game. You know, he's a guy who's shown, especially in what we've done in these last few months, you know, that he can play all three downs for you, which has been fun. You take him and you combine him with a guy like Vinny Curry, who you saw his pass rush ability the last couple of years. Obviously, I think at one point he was in the double-digit sack range, so you knew he was capable of doing those things. And you also include Connor Barwin in that deal, who was a guy who was a double-digit sack guy a few years ago. So you knew they had the ability. The thing that you're seeing right now that I'm seeing more than anything is the ability to play on first down when you got to stop the run and be physical. Those things have been things that I was hoping to see, and we've done that. Marcus Smith is a guy who didn't have a lot of reps the last few years, but you watch him now, he looks like he's coming into his own. Things are beginning to slow down a lot for him, and so that's been really fun to watch.
And then what about Alex, who's so thin, so raw, but yet has some of the things that you really like, the long arms, he looks explosive. What do you make of him so early?
I like the things that you can't teach, you know, the things that he was born with, like you said, the length, the ability to run, the ability to bend, which is really a great plus for a guy who's going to be on the edge. The thing that you know that I look forward to is getting him in the pass. When he gets in the pass and he gets more reps, I'm looking forward to see how this guy develops.
And then Brian Brayman, who's been a special teams player, played linebacker, really seems to come off the ball with a lot of aggressiveness and very quick.
Oh, Brian has the ability to rush the edge, and he was able to do that in college. Now he's getting a chance and opportunity to be an attached lineman instead of an outside linebacker who's asked to drop, play in coverage, and do multiple things. And I think this really plays into his wheelhouse.
And then inside, Chris Fletcher Cox, we know what kind of player he is, and you've worked with him in the past. He's been in a 4-3 in the NFL. You've got Benny Logan as well. You've got Bo Allen, Taylor Hart, Mike Martin, etc. And I know it's early again, but how have you been impressed with him?
You know, early on, like anything, it's different going from a read and react front to an attack and react front. So, you know, again, a few of those guys had played in it a few years prior, 4 years ago, and so they understood the concepts. But the biggest thing is, I was sharing with guys, is just changing the mentality, the culture, that you're always in a pass rush situation. And the guys are buying in. Obviously, you can't get enough reps doing it. The more reps you do, obviously, the better we're getting. And what I've been impressed with guys like Benny, who had been a two-gap nose guard, and really like Mike Martin. I think Mike's done a tremendous job. Taylor's really making a big transition in that regard. So, you know, when you look across that board and you look at guys, I really enjoy watching the improvement from a mental standpoint as well as being able to rush the passer. So those things have been pluses.
So how much does it change when the pads go on, Chris?
First of all, it definitely gets warmer when you got pads on. I always say big guys are like cattle. They'd rather graze than anything. Now you get a chance to see the guys who can create knockback. You get a chance to see more of the physicality that's involved in it. Obviously, you won't have a chance to do that a lot because of how the CBA is set up now. But when you do get those opportunities, now you're seeing guys, you know, play with their pads down, play knock them back football. And those are the things that I'm excited to see.
How have you felt, Chris, first time in the NFL, and how the players have responded to your message?
I've been really pleased with the group of men in the room. They're all pros. They come about their business and their day-to-day stuff like professionals. The biggest surprise has been for me more than anything is how much they really desire to be coached. They want to be coached. They want to improve. They want to find different ways to get better, and that's been the best thing. That's been the funnest thing for me.
Enjoy your time off.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. Barwin, who was making the transition from a stand-up linebacker, and a very good one at that, to a hand-in-the-dirt defensive end, says his line mates have bought into the new approach up front. For the previous three seasons, the defensive line had a two-gap responsibility. Now the linemen are asked to get up the field and wreak some havoc. From what you can tell, just the defensive scheme and what it could bring and what Jim's track record is like, how do you feel about what you know about this defense?
Well, it's still early. You know, it's been a great summer, and we've got to still put the pads on, and we've got a long way to go, but I think I'm excited about just how fast we're going to be able to play on defense and how fast we're going to be able to play up front with the rotation we have, the way we practice, with the way we drill. I think we're going to be very physical, kind of violent, and fast up front.
The idea is to be disruptive on every play. You think you have the ability across the line, talent-wise, to do that?
Yeah, I think so. But, I mean, with having said, we still got a long way to go. And it's been a good offseason. I think we're getting better. And I think we do have the guys to be very good up front this year.
He says he wants to make it as simple as possible for defensive end. What has he told you? What does that mean?
Well, I think that means that you don't slow down to think about what you're supposed to be doing. And it's been very clear this whole offseason, you better know what you're doing. Coach Schwartz has made that very clear. And it's not acceptable when you don't know what you're doing. And when you have 11 guys that really know what they're doing every single play and they don't have to stop and think about it, you know, you're a lot more effective.
I know it's only spring. I know there's no tackling. I know there's no pads. You've gone through much of the spring without having Fletcher there. Now when you all of a sudden think about him being part of it, exciting for you to get an idea of what that whole group's going to look like?
Yeah, I mean, obviously we love having Fletch back this week. It's good to see his big smiling face. The guys did well that were here when he wasn't here, obviously. I know Fletch looks like he's been working out. Obviously he adds a lot to our defense. He's a great player. Yeah, it's just exciting to think about what he can do and bring to this defense.
What's the transition been like for you, putting your hand down a lot of the times?
It's been good. I mean, every day I think I'm getting better or trying to get better. There's not as much of a transition as some people think, but there is some. You know, most of my life I've been sort of set the edge, or you got to be in the B gap, or you got to, you know, this is more, we're getting to spots. You know, it doesn't matter where the block is, you just go. So that's been, you know, an adjustment that I've been focused on and trying to improve on every day.
Thank you. Now, for a national perspective on this football team, ESPN's Sal Palantonio is on the scene a lot, and he has his finger on the pulse of the Eagles. In this week's Press Pass, it's time to hear from Sal Pal. Sal, we've arrived at the end of the OTAs, all eyes on training camp. You have three big questions that the Eagles need to answer then?
Oh, I think the biggest question that they have to answer is whether or not the defense can be appreciably better than it was last year, and I think it can. I think you've got some players there who believe in Jim Schwartz's system. I think they can get after the quarterback, Fletcher Cox. He will anchor the wide nine, and he will be let loose in a one-gap defensive system that will flourish under Jim Schwartz. I think they'll have one of the best tandems at safety. The biggest question mark, obviously, will be whether or not they can hold up at the corner position covering. That's the number one question to me. If the defense, David, plays 50% better than it did last year, this team will win a lot more football games than they did last year. Second biggest question, I think, is who's going to play running back for this football team and get the mother load of the carries? Because Doug Peterson comes from the Andy Reid school of football, and we saw it in Kansas City. We saw it here in Philadelphia. They want to run the football. They want to control the line of scrimmage. They want to control the tempo of the game, and they want to be able to push the football down the field at will. And that to me is a big question. I think the quarterback position is not a big question. I think it's very solvable. And I got to give a lot of credit to answer question number three to Doug Peterson. I really like the way he's used his personality to solve these different personalities. The quarterback position, there aren't any other cases in the NFL where your starting quarterback went AWOL for 2 weeks and now everything is smoothed over for the time being. And I think it's all credit goes to Doug Peterson.
It's an interesting segue because I wanted to ask you about Doug, and they haven't taken the field for a game, but he's gone through quite a bit here, not only with Sam, but with Fletcher and Darren Sproles missing the voluntary portion of the offseason. You know, a lot of players being moved out, players being brought in. How do you think Doug has handled all of that, including the media and including for the first time in his career, standing up in front of an entire team as a head coach?
Well, there's three parts to that. First, part one, talking to players, it's pretty evident that they like him a lot because he lets stuff roll off of his back. He's not taking things personally. And I think, you know, he got that from Andy, you know, and I think it's a stark contrast to the last head coach. They are being treated like adults and they like it. Part two, as far as the media is concerned, you know, I like it. I think he has been expansive with his answers. He's been detailed with his answers. He's been forthcoming with his answers. He's been very accessible. So that's part two. Part three is how will he do during training camp and the preseason, because we're a long way from the regular season. And I want to see him in action. And I think everybody does. And that's the unknown.
Sam Bradford, you talked about him and how he left and came back. And from Doug's perspective, it's been smoothed over. How about from Sam's perspective and how you think he's handled himself since returning?
Well, I had a couple of interesting conversations in the locker room during mandatory minicamp, one with Malcolm Jenkins, one with Zach Ertz, one with Chris Givens. And all of them said the same thing, that since Sam Bradford has come back, he's come out of his shell. And all of them said it was basically because he realized, listen, he's 28. This is his job. And he's a young man. And he's about to get married, right? So he needed to grow up real quickly and understand he has a responsibility not only to himself and his team, teammates, but to the bigger picture of, okay, who is Sam Bradford? Is he going to be known as the guy who never did anything and then walked away and came back and was beaten out by a rookie quarterback? I don't think he wants that. I don't think he wants that on his legacy. He wants the final chapter of his resume to say he fought, he got a new deal somewhere else perhaps, but he did it the right way.
In this offense, Sal, they go back to what Andy had done for 14 years here, the hybrid West Coast offense, combining with some spread. I don't really have a sense for what this offense can be. Do you have a feeling or an expectation for how good the offense can be?
I think initially they will try to control the line of scrimmage and run the football and use the running backs. You heard Doug Peterson talk about the fact that, you know, he's happy to have Darren Sproles back so that he can move him around the line of scrimmage. This offense will be different from Chip Kelly's in two important ways. One, the quarterback will have autonomy at the line of scrimmage to get to the line of scrimmage and get out of bad place and to play chess with a middle linebacker on defense. And two, they will use formation variation to create favorable matchups. They have to. They have no other choice. They don't have a real speedster to take the safety out of the play and blow the top off the coverage. So they're going to have to create matchups through formation variation and personnel variation. And that's going to be up to Doug and Frank Reich and John DeFilippo and Sam Bradford.
The fans. New era. Expectations. Where do you think they are from the fan base?
I think they're expecting this team to compete. Everywhere that I go, I think fans want this team to compete and expect them to compete. I look at this team as facing a really tough schedule. You got Roethlisberger coming in here. You got Rodgers coming in here. You got to play Russell Wilson on the road. This is a tough schedule. You got to play Andy Dalton. The Ravens are no pushover. This is a tough schedule. And to me, it goes back to the first point that I made. If Schwartz can get this defense to play 50% better, they will be competitive.
Are the Eagles, Sal, in a better place now than they were 12 months ago?
Without a doubt, yes. The defense will be on the field less time. The offense at the quarterback position will have more autonomy to get into good plays and get out of bad ones. And three, the coach is treating the players like adults. And it's basically up to this roster to respond to this coach because he has given them accountability and responsibility.
When you're around the team a lot, does that mean ESPN thinks that the Eagles are a national story, a good story, an interesting story?
The Eagles are always an interesting story. One, it's the Eagles. It's a big market. Two, it's the NFC East. And you have the most dynamic quarterback situation in the NFL. I mean, you could talk about the Jets not having a quarterback. Okay. You could talk about the LA Rams with Goff, and he's probably going to start. But here, it's very unusual that you would invest so much money in three guys and put them out there. And you heard Doug Peterson say he's going to divide the reps at quarterback evenly during training camp. And his reason why is he wants the twos and threes, who you got to get up to speed quickly in the first and second preseason games. But I think he really wants to see Carson Wentz during training camp have an opportunity to compete. And that to us at ESPN is a big deal.
Enjoy the rest of the offseason, Sal.
Thank you, David. You too.
That's it for the Eagles Live Podcast, Episode 21. Thanks to our all-pro Brian Thomas for making this such a great product, and thanks to you for joining us. We'll be back throughout the offseason, leading into training camp, giving you updates and in-depth looks at the team, position by position. Once again, thanks for joining in, and have yourselves a great Eagles Day.
E-A-G-L-E!